Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
All right, we're back with, well, technically our first episode of our newly named, seconds ago, Side Topics podcast. Andrew Porter here with Tom Kelly, Dave Breitmeyer, and Bill Kornfeld. Side Topics, obviously a little play off of the WIP Side Topics, because we're going to be talking about everything but sports here, primarily TV, as we've done the Game of Thrones. We're done with Game of Thrones. We've all watched Chernobyl, a five-episode, basically a five-hour miniseries HBO production, which was ranked the highest-rated show ever currently on IMDb at 9.7. So it's getting vast, excellent reviews, ton of good reaction. I'll start and just say, like, I loved it. I didn't know much about the story, so, like, I knew what it was, but it was, like, a very informative show and done in a very entertaining way. The acting was great. The writing was great. Like, what was real versus what was not, we can get into. But I thought it was well done from start to finish. The finale being excellent. Just really, like, exhilarating straight from the start to the end. There was really no slow moments. Maybe one episode, like we talked about. But I thought it was, like, a 9 out of 10.
Yep. It was weird how they started it with the main character dying, and they did talk about that.
Move the mic there, Dave.
Come on,
Dave.
No, really loud.
Oh, wait, let me pop it. Yeah, there we go. Now. All right, let's go. There we go.
I like how they started it with the main character dying. It actually helped everyone who watched Game of Thrones and has been talking about the end of Game of Thrones for so long. I think it was a good break of something that was short, something that you didn't have to think about too much, something that you knew the ending to, and I thought that it was a good little miniseries to watch that you didn't have to get too invested in. You didn't have to learn the history of this entire world. It was something that happened. And I thought that was it's a good thing to watch if you are fatigued after watching Game of Thrones.
And that was why it was such a perfect show, almost, because we had just invested 8.5 years of this world, this universe in Game of Thrones, and now we were just thrown into a new real life story, and it was in and out, and then we were done with it, and it was written really well, and they made nuclear physics entertainment and entertaining and understandable.
Yeah,
you know how hard it is to understand nuclear physics? Yeah. Like,
that's actually a good point. It was like the complete opposite of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did that intentionally, but like, it was aired immediately after. It was five episodes versus 70, whatever.
Yeah.
It was fake versus reality. It was like the complete opposite.
Yeah, I have this fantasy that there was a meeting and they're like, all right, since everyone's mad about Game of Thrones, we're going to kill the main character off in the beginning and just get it over with. Obviously, that probably didn't happen because it was probably filmed ahead of time. Yeah. But I have this like weird like vision of these guys sitting in an office going, we're going to, because of Game of Thrones, we're going to kill the main character off, and everyone's just going to relax for the rest of the miniseries.
They could have done that. I mean, they could have just quickly edited that and made that the start instead of the end. Or whatever,
maybe.
You know? Yeah. TK, what do you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I think it's probably where a lot of TV is going, especially on HBO. Like,
because it is so hard to replicate a show like Game of Thrones, and it takes so long to make a show like that. Like Westworld,
yeah, it's impossible.
They've had a new season like what, once every year and a half.
Like this one, I think the not season 3 is 2020 and early right. 2020. So we it's around year and a half, almost 18 months, 19 months.
Right. And I feel like these mini series are easy to kind of churn out. I thought it was good. I maybe not as enthusiastic as you guys as a whole. I thought the last one was really good. And I did think the acting was great. Like, I think it's a challenge in a matter of 5 episodes to have characters that you really care what happens to them. And there weren't a ton, but like the guy who played Dyatlov was great. He was a great villain.
I have actually had that
Paul
guy.
Ritter.
Yeah, Paul Ritter. Thank you, Porter.
Jared Harris was the main character.
Harris is one of those guys. Jared Harris is who played Legasov. He's that guy you just kind of see pop up in a show, and you go, "I know this guy. I've seen him in other
shows.
You've
seen his face
he's
a million
really
times."
Good, and I don't know where else to explain it other than I know who he is, and he's a really good actor, so I'm invested.
Yeah, halfway through the first episode, I had to pause it and go to IMDb.
And obviously,
I've seen this guy's face.
And obviously, you had Stellan Skarsgård, who is just in everything. His sons are in everything. Like, he's all over Hollywood. He's obviously notable for, I guess, people that are probably listening to this pod, known for the Thor franchise. He was in that.
He was the dickhead director in Entourage, too.
And Entourage, that's right. Yeah. I keep forgetting. What was the firefighter movie?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a great show. We should do a recap on that.
It was cool to see. Like, in 5 episodes, they developed that relationship, too, between those two
guys. That was the best relationship. Well done, that was the best relationship, just seeing how Skarsgård's character just, like, was this, like, I don't, for lack of a better term, brainwashed Soviet government official that's just like, no, the government's always right. The government can do no wrong. And then he gets to Chernobyl and he's like, oh no, this is totally F. Like, this is way worse than we could have ever imagined.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes is when he finally loses it, because he's the one telling Jared Harris that, you know, this is the way we have to act. We are Soviets. You know, he's the party guy. And when he finally loses it and just starts screaming into a phone and bashing it against the wall, and I don't give a bleep. Yeah. Who's listening? I don't give a bleep if Gorbachev is listening. We need this right now.
Yeah.
And then he bashes the phone, and you feel, like, at that point, you feel him just completely, like, I'm done with this. Like, and I thought that was a very...
And on the other side of that...
Very good scene.
On the other side of that, when Legasov is at the bar, at the hotel, I think it was, in episode 2 or 3, he's getting a shot of... He's getting a drink of vodka, and he, like... They had just come from a meeting where how bad this really was, because they were coming up with a plan, and there's just two normal people sitting there, and goes, so you're with the government or whoever it was? And he goes, yeah, I'm helping out. And they go, do we have anything to worry about? And he says, no. Like, right. And on that, on the other side of Skarsgård character, he realizes that now he's involved. He's involved.
Right. He's no longer a scientist.
Yeah. He's lying to these people to just not cause a panic.
Yeah, it was.
I think Jared Harris will win an Emmy for this.
For
I think
sure.
He will, or at least not maybe not win, but he'll be nominated.
Yeah,
I think what I like the most is through the first 4 episodes, they like you obviously from the beginning you know what happens.
Yeah,
but how they kept it, you know, kind of all off screen until that final episode, and as they're explaining it in the trial, they're doing the flashes to
that was a
the
great
moments
directional choice.
When the. Yeah. When the explosion happened, I liked that better than just doing that in the first episode.
It was very well done.
Yeah,
not over explaining.
The first episode.
Like, in the beginning.
Yeah. The first episode opened up with the one character I think we all were kind of like not the biggest fan of, the woman Lidmalia, who was the wife of the firefighter who goes out there. The first episode opens up with you just seeing the Chernobyl power plant in the background, and it explodes, and then you feel the power shock. I guess it would be the call it a power shock. It hit their house, and they're like, what the hell just happened? And you start to see that glow. And Lidmalia's character, who is based on a real character, or a real person, who's, I think...
Which I was surprised. I thought she
shocking.
Would be, like the scientist woman would be a bunch of people who had bad things happen. Bad things happen to them, but they're all happening to this woman. But no, she was, you know, all of that did happen to her. Which
I think it was a decent portrayal. Her portrayal just didn't hit the mark for me. Like, I get what she was, what the directors were trying to do in her development and just like going through these hospital wings, trying to find her husband. after the accident and putting out the fire.
It's just another perspective.
She was an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean,
she was
don't
a dummy.
Go touch the radioactive guy.
But I think
you're pregnant with a kid.
She was supposed to be an idiot.
Yeah, I think that was the thing because, like, I think episode three's whole purpose was because a lot
but
of
not everyone is smart. Right?
Yeah, but not everyone can be smart as you, TK.
But
sorry.
You only know how bad that radioactivity was until, you know,
the
until
end.
Jared Harris told you. Right. And now you know, and now you think she's an idiot.
You guys couldn't deduce that. They were probably pretty dangerous to be around and their skin's falling off and they're like burning from the inside out.
One, that was her husband, and then you could obviously also just say, well, this is just a containing in his own body. Like, it's not contagious in any way. Obviously, we know it is, but to these characters' perspectives, she's just comforting her husband on his deathbed.
And
she accepted
know.
That he was going to die.
It was an example of how it could spread, too. Like, maybe how it spread.
Which was the shocking part, because I think it was in episode four, which was one of the highlights of episode four, is when the woman gives birth. The baby's only alive. Her daughter's only alive for four hours.
Right.
Because she absorbed all the radiation. She saved her mother's life, sadly, at the cost of her own. And that was what that...
And you didn't know that was going to happen, because you don't know how it works, and neither does she.
Well, maybe it wouldn't have spread if people weren't so stupid going and touching the infected people.
Well, no, but that's the point of the thing,
they
is that
no
things got worse because people weren't paying attention.
All the doctors were telling her to stay away. What else do you need to hear?
I mean, obviously the doctors were the people that were playing cautious, and they are what you are doing, TK, and it's just like, if you see a person's skin being melted off, don't touch them.
Exactly.
Like, so I get it, but I think normal. When do you honestly listen to? Obviously, this is compartmentalizing it to the 10th degree. Like, do you ever actually, when you go to a doctor, do you listen to them 9 times out of 10? 8 times out of 10?
Well,
on their advice?
Go to a doctor.
Well, there you go.
I'm not going to visit my wife after she was in a horrible
nuclear
accident.
You're not going to visit her?
Right.
Leave this part out here.
Really married.
Yes, I'm married. if somebody close to me is like in a nuclear accident.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna feel bad. I'm gonna go touch them and hug them and kiss their hand. If it's gonna kill me.
Right.
It's stupid.
Let's get his wife on the line.
I think
we'll see how she feels about this.
I got myself in some hot water, I think.
Yeah, you're not gonna have a good time.
I would prefer to have been in that.
She obviously loves her husband way more than you love your wife.
That's
and it's clear.
But the most ridiculous part to TK's point is when she's initially looking for a husband and she finds out he's in Moscow and she runs to Moscow and the first doctor she meets is, I'll let you see him, but are you pregnant? And she goes, no. And you see her turn and she immediately like looks back like, oh God, I hope she doesn't really know.
She wanted to see him at all costs. How do we know what's true and what's not at that point? Yeah.
Well, it was indicated that she was pregnant in the very first scene.
She obviously was pregnant in real life and like we don't know what the exact conversations were, but like, you know, people do dumb things for love. Isn't that a line?
Yeah, that is the line.
Jamie Lannister.
There you go.
Yeah, I just thought her character just didn't hit.
No, I agree.
Well,
it wasn't like
compared to
it
everyone.
It was just
else.
Like a side topic for.
It was to show you what happened. And show you
her character.
The people on. Yeah,
just like the animal scene, which we can get to. That was another perspective, hit that so hard. They wanted you to be like emotionally distraught. Like my fiance was like miserable watching that episode.
And it was slow and
so
it just,
unnecessary.
Yeah, that episode could have been cut.
We talked this in the pre-show. This show really could have cut down to four episodes and taking bits and pieces of that fourth episode and throwing them into even the second and third episodes and then just expending those to an hour 15 if you had to. Call me a bad person. I don't care. I chuckled a little bit when they were dumping all the animals. And it's clear as day that they're all stuffed animals. Like they didn't put that much effort into like making effects to portray dead animals, and I don't blame them. But seeing just all these stuffed animals.
I wasn't looking directly at it.
Yeah, you're
so,
a bad person. Yeah.
That's fine.
You're gonna get the PETA people out.
Yeah, I know.
So.
Bring it on, PETA. I looked at that episode as well, and it was just a portrayal of to what lengths they had extended themselves to stopping this spread of radiation.
Right,
they had
kids.
They had used the expense of all of their military personnel, and they were using just a kid off the street when he said that when he's asked by the
and how mentally distraught those three guys were. Mm-hmm. Like even the leader was. They were so
similar to the
up.
Coal miners in episode three when you get the coal miners in there who are like these just
the coal miners were awesome.
They were
way.
Hard. They were hard.
I love
they
those
were,
guys.
I think in the behind the scenes, the directors that, and the writers were just like these were the hardest men in Soviet Russia. Like they were not to be effed with, and they didn't care about anything, and they didn't. The guy that I don't remember who was the leader of that coal miner, I don't even think we got his name, but
yeah,
he was just he was a perfect like
that was
depiction.
A good scene in the room too when they were talking to Legasov.
By mm-hmm. the way, by
he
the
like,
way,
he was like, do these things work? Well, yeah. If they did, you'd be wearing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was
I
a
love
perfect
when they
rebuttal.
Came out and they all kept hitting the guy.
Yeah. Now you minister of coal.
Yeah, he's the minister of coal.
By the way, one of the coal miners, me and Bill, I think I counted five.
Yeah, the
Friends characters was Lord Commander Mormont was one of the miners.
Yeah, Mormont was in there.
A lot of tie-ins. We can't let it go.
A guy, one of the guys on the
Three Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like,
oh, I can't.
No,
forever on our minds.
No.
We started by talking about comparing it to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this in yesterday when we were discussing about doing this pod, like. It just is funny to us how HBO, once you're in this realm of HBO shows, you're reused on all of their stuff in some way. Not all of their stuff, but like you're the first guy to get the call or first
you're
actress.
On the list.
Yeah,
you're on the list to get
yeah.
that call. Like, hey, we're doing this show on the Chernobyl disaster. Yeah. And obviously, who's better than HBO's Game of Thrones actors? They're out of a job right now unless your name is Sophia Turner.
What did you guys think of the decision to instead of give them Russian accents, to give every character English accents? It was clearly made just for Americans.
Yeah, it was just made for us. And, like, it's something that...
It was just weird.
It's weird, but you kind of get over it, because, like...
I got over it, and I got immersed into it until Gorbachev, who didn't look like Gorbachev.
No, he didn't. I looked up who... He's still alive, apparently.
Is he really?
I looked it up. I was curious, because I was...
And then he sat down, and he started talking in an American accent. The guy who symbolizes Russian... To me, Americans who were alive at that time, he sits down, so what are we going to do about this? I'm like, well, that's not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
The people who I didn't know, not having Russian accents, I was okay with, but that was pretty jarring.
Was this like a big story at the time in the United States? Like in the United States? In the United
Dude,
States?
Was that's it, a good question.
I think I don't mean this is an insult, but I think Dave was the only one alive at the time.
I was 11.
People here.
Well, I was 11, but it was a huge story. But it shows you how much they tried to, and if you go back and watch, you can see how they tried to hide it, and they were able to hide it, which is probably amazing to think about now. I mean, the only thing you can really think about is North Korea. Like that's the equivalent.
Yeah.
But North Korea is very small. This was half of the world was like North Korea. They blew up, and it could have been like an atom bomb, but we're not going to tell anybody until finally we find out. And it was a big part of the story was when the Americans know, like that was terrible.
I think it was episode one I depicted as like the show as the episode that's just like it's the setting the stage. This is what happened. We're not going to tell you full details of how it happened yet. And then episode two was. Everyone knows now. Like, that episode two led up to, I think it was a Swedish power plant that was like, why is there, what radiation are we picking up right now? And it was the Chernobyl one, which led to satellite pictures being taken by the Americans, and then the whole world knows. Like, this could have, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, this could have, like, destroyed the planet.
Well, I mean, of course, I learned a lot more by watching the show than, what I remember from when I was 11 years old. But I think there was... From what I remember, is there was an expectation that we're not going to find out what really happened because it's the Russians and they don't tell us anything, and they're definitely not going to do anything that's going to embarrass them because they were keeping up appearances.
Yeah, and I think the only real image footage that they had used was a Peter Jennings newscast, and he said what the Soviet story is, and then he went into what they were saying, which was obviously a lie or a half truth. Everything that they say that the best liars do the half truth thing, but like if you lie enough, you pick up on it and you realize that these people are just liars, and that's what Russia was at the time.
Yeah, we weren't going to trust anything they told us.
Yeah, of course.
It's kind of still like that now,
oh,
isn't
of course.
It?
Oh, yeah.
It really hasn't changed a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the station I produce for 1210, like that's at least once a week we're talking about how we cannot still trust the Russians. Right. They are still run by a quasi-KGB and Putin, and so that
by the way, how funny was it when he tripped on that rug the other week at the hockey game? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
He fell on his ass.
The first thing I thought was, well, the guy who laid out that rug is never going to be heard from again. And then he went on to score 11 goals because he's that good at hockey.
Wow. That's amazing.
but that's exactly what that... Like, Russia is still the Soviet Union without the label and all the territories.
But you didn't know how people live. You had, like, those apartments that they showed, we didn't know what they looked like.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what people were doing day to day. There was no pictures. There was nothing coming out of there, which is a lot different.
The only depiction I remember before this...
you weren't allowed to visit. You couldn't, go to Moscow and hang out.
The only depiction I remember of anything related to Chernobyl was actually, if you guys played Xbox 360, was... In Modern Warfare, there's a level where you go to Chernobyl and you go to the building right outside Chernobyl. That was the only quote unquote depiction I ever had before I watched the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, as a 30-year-old, I haven't really heard much about Chernobyl. It was pretty.
It's
much,
still
like,
an area
talked about.
Yeah, it's still an area that's closed off to quarantine.
That's why the show was so, like, I guess important, because it was like, wow, it was eye-opening. I was pretty ignorant to the situation. I was like, this is amazing.
And you get drawn into it by the cinematography. I mean, that's probably the way they looked. That's, you know, it was 80s Soviet Russia. That's what it's going to look like. And it's like nothing that, you know, any of us grew up in or saw.
I was like, how could this happen in 86? Like, this is you know, this is modern almost.
It was a real cool way to watch history. Like I was born about a year after that happened. And I heard
God,
of Chernobyl,
of but
I never knew exactly what happened or how it happened. So it was really interesting.
Exactly, I think I think most people approached it, or at least people in the millennials or a little bit older, approached it the same way.
Yeah,
but I mean, I was really entertained by it, and I thought it was as accurate as it should be. I went and read a New Yorker article because it was the opposite of what I thought. It said, you know, what they got terribly wrong. So I wanted to see, what did they get terribly wrong?
Oh, on the show?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So some of the things, and I've read through it, and they're kind of like what you expect to be wrong because you're making a TV show. You're not writing a book. Like the first one was Lagashev, when he said, you know, if you don't take me to that, you know, if you don't fly over to that nuclear reactor or you don't tell me how a nuclear reactor works, I'm going to shoot you in the head.
That was boring. Yeah. Boris said that.
Boris said that.
Agent, the government official.
Right.
Yeah.
And the writer's point in New Yorker was he wouldn't have done that. They don't just shoot people. Okay. I know. I think anyone who watched the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone who watched the show understood that. You know, they're making it a little more dramatic.
Yeah, it was fairly accurate from what I read online. Like, they didn't really mess up egregiously. And, the final montage.
He also talked about the Emily Watson character, which they flat out say that.
Oh, yeah. That
she represents hundreds of.
I'm sure some morons on like anti-social justice warrior people were like, well, why is she depicted as a woman in the 80s in Soviet
apparently
Russia?
Apparently, Soviet Russia was pretty progressive, I read.
Oh, really?
That's why they had a lot of women doctors and women. And
that's true. Yeah, there were. Yeah, but
in the show,
I just anticipated people to get upset that not only was this woman just representing 15 to 20 different scientists, but she was also a woman and get upset.
But you have
over
to do that. It's a TV show. We're not going to want to watch a TV show about 100 scientists.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to.
Without women.
Yeah. We're not going to pick that.
And the last one was I went through it. I highlighted a couple of things, but the Paul Ritter character, like the evil guy who
Dyatlov.
Yeah.
That guy was great. He's my favorite character.
Yeah.
He wasn't really like, like one evil guy who messed everything up. Right. It was like the structure of the system and everyone's kind of being an asshole.
Well, that's
not
what
just,
happened.
There's not just one asshole. There's a lot of people being assholes, and that's what called it. I think we kind of knew that, too. Yeah. Like, I think anyone who watches this is taking these liberties. Like, the fact that they're saying, you know, what they got terribly wrong, I think is Seemed like an overstatement.
Well, that's what I think happened. I think that culminated in the final episode during the trial. You have Legatsov's character doing the incredible depiction of how nuclear physics works with just two colored sets of placards to figure out how.
Which is crazy writing, by the way. To get us to understand what happened.
Yeah.
Like, to get mad about rods. Ooh, the rods. You know, a bunch of people who aren't nuclear scientists. I think that was a great way of explaining it.
Yeah, and he's just like, well, you get up to this final point where they're supposed to push this button, AZ5, which is like the emergency release valve, and it sends the rods into the core to cool it down from the spike in temperature that it was experiencing. And then he's like, but it exploded because you people are cheap, directing his shot right at a Soviet Russian court system, which is insane in that time, because it's literally you're asking, like, hey, I'm blaming you at not just Dyatlov, who was to blame for this, but to, as Dave just said, it was entirely his fault because he was just following orders while being arrogant.
And that probably didn't happen, but that's the way you need to see it in a TV show. You don't need to see, you know, 100 people trying to make this point that the system is flawed and we need to fix it.
Boris
over hours and hours and hours, you see one guy getting up and making a great speech like it's...
Who was also...
It's funny that you say that, because that was our main criticism of Game of Thrones, that didn't do that, because the Game of Thrones is like the one show where you do want hours and hours and hours
of explanation.
But Chernobyl, it's different.
Chernobyl was different. I mean, Chernobyl, Chernobyl also has an actual end. We know the actual end, like, of how this went down. Game of Thrones is just like, also the court system was run by Roose Bolton. Did you catch that?
He was creepy looking. He is creepy.
That actor has a very niche, like, just be the creepy evil guy or like the intimidating guy in any TV setting, and you are good. I don't even remember his name. What his name actually is?
It's Roose Bolton now.
It doesn't matter.
Roose Bolton now.
But that's and then like the we're not gonna just he wouldn't have just shot him. And at the end of the show, when Legasov is in the, I guess, the prison, I forget what it was,
the back room,
the creepy back room. The head of the KGB agents, like, well, we can't shoot you. You were just in Vienna giving.
I think they don't even say who this guy is, or he doesn't even introduce himself. He's just a guy. He's just like the guy who's going to do the thing to you.
Right.
Like, that's what made it creepy about it. Did they tell you who he was?
I'm looking for. I
mean, they really didn't
find,
say his name.
I think on purpose they didn't tell you who he was. Like, he didn't tell.
Oh, here it is. He had a name.
Victor Charkov.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, like, I remember because he was in that first meeting, and I guess it was
a Charkov joke.
Yeah. I guess it was
just
in
did.
Yeah. Oh, did I?
I guess it was in that second episode where they first have when you first see Gorbachev. He's there, and they say, this is Victor, he's part of the KGB.
I thought he was just some mysterious guy. I like that better.
That would have portrayed very well, because that's all at that time the KGB, which is basically the equivalent of our CIA, is depicted as just this, like, the secret organization that just makes people disappear, and that's the end of it.
Ooh. That's all I got.
I like how we started off with cassette tapes. I mean,
that was very cool.
That got me into it.
Yeah, and just how he put everything on tape, and then he goes out and hides it in the little like alleyway for people to find, because we know obviously he ends up hanging himself, which was I think they said he hung himself 2 years and 1 minute to the day.
It was the
Chernobyl disaster, which is obviously based on.
That's my favorite part of these.
Him hanging himself?
No. His miniseries is like this. It's when they show. No, not him hanging myself.
Oh my god!
Oh, that part was so great.
But when they show the real people at the end, I don't know, for some reason that's always my favorite part.
Well done.
Yeah,
like better than most.
That was like 7 minutes when you get to the end of any of them.
Yeah,
it needed to be long.
Yeah, when you get to the end of something, you're like this, and you're like, oh, I got to see the guys.
Because you want to. Dyatlov
lived like he served his 10 years of a labor camp, which
that was ridiculous. They did 10 years hard labor.
Well, that's the problem.
And then they were allowed to go back to their jobs.
Yeah, and I mean they depicted that like they said,
but the way they even wrote that was awesome. It was like .. Like they were they were trolling in their subtitles, which was awesome.
Like just the fact that I think what stuck, the two things that in those real images was the firefighter suits still clung to the ground of the hospitals or of the hospital at Chernobyl the day after the disaster, or the night that
recent footage of them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like it's still burned into the flooring. And then the second one was that stuck out to me was the known number of deaths related to Chernobyl will never truly be known.
You can't.
But the number they guessed was like between 4,000 and 50,000.
The recorded number is only like 31.
31! Yeah. And it's still to this day.
Well, that's probably the people who died that day.
Yeah.
When it happened.
That's what they're all.
But if you die, you know, 5 years later from cancer, they're not counting that. They're
right.
Not even,
yeah. And everyone that. I think it's thyroid cancer that everyone's going to be getting that or got in this because of this.
I will say I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this. I didn't know that it's still like a banned like territory.
Yeah, you were telling us you could get a tour.
I thought you could go on like a sightseeing tour or something through Chernobyl. I didn't know it was still
you
like.
You go ahead, TK.
I didn't know it was still
your wife will stay here and like she's already pissed at you. So
and then I'll feel
it's a secluded zone.
Blocked.
There are people,
and then you'll go to the hospital.
I'll feel a lot differently when I'm in the hospital. Yeah. She doesn't come to visit.
No one's going to visit you, dude.
She won't.
Porter,
I'll tell her to listen to this podcast.
Don't do that.
It's an actual. It's blocked. I think it's blocked off by just
like government.
Government officials, but there are people that still live there. In the zone.
The people that never left.
Remember that woman? I think it was in episode 3. There's that old woman that that's milking the cow, and she says, "I'm not leaving. I was here for the revolution. I was here for the war. You can't tell me to leave." That was a depiction of real people. There's actual women and children and families that have not left that area. They're just naturally immune to the radiation. They've lost their teeth. They have like. Deformities and stuff, but
is this factual? Or
Dawn Stensland, our newswoman for the Rich Little Show on the morning show.
The Walking Dead in there?
Yeah, they're basically that, and they just are living out the rest of their lives until they pass away.
So there's a sequel.
Yeah, there's a potential sequel of HBO.
Well, you should go Google like pictures of Chernobyl because it is like it's like a zombie movie. It is creepy.
I went deep. Like I dove in deep on Wikipedia.
You can go to
Chernobyl.
Kiev and stuff, right?
Like yeah, Kiev is fine. Kiev, well, not fine, but it's a spot you can
go
to.
Go there.
Like I to your point, Dave, I dove into like Wikipedia about like radiation poisoning, and I those images are rough.
It's just that city, like Pipiat. That's the city.
See, that's what happened to me. Is I started watching it. My my wife was away, and I had some soup my mom made in the freezer, some lentil soup, and I took it out, and I'm like, you know, I'm gonna watch something. My wife is away, so I'm gonna try Chernobyl. Started watching it. Everyone started puking. I took that lentil soup and put it right back in the freezer.
It's not a show you could eat.
I'm not having dinner tonight. How about that?
Yeah, it's not that kind of show. Especially when Dyatlov is like, I'm okay. Everything's fine. I apologize for that. And he just collapses
everything
and they send him off.
Everything is not fine.
All of those men deserve. And even Legatsov said, like, these men deserve to die. I'm about to kill myself. Why is Dyatlov about to walk free after 8 more years at the time of his death? It's crazy, but
yeah, that was one of the that was crazy when he has to tell Boris, but Boris is just kind of like he's going through when people are gonna die, and what about us?
5 years,
he died, right? Yeah. I don't remember.
Boris died. Let's see, Boris died in 90,
right?
August of 90.
He lasted
4 years. So within that 5 year frame of Legatsov said, So I think this was one of probably. I hope this is what HBO needs to focus on. Like, I know they're making the Thrones prequel with the Long Night, but like,
I'm excited for that.
But at the same time, like, I enjoy these. I'm in, I'm out, and then I can go 5 hours, 5.5 hours, and I'm done.
I thought it was good. I guess I didn't think it was quite as good as you guys did, but I liked it.
It's a good change of pace. They still do like their big series, you know.
They still have the Big Little Lies, and they have Westworld coming next year.
It has been hard to fill the void of like. Just because of the anticipation every week, Game of Thrones.
That'll never happen again.
A slow sports time. It's just,
The NBA Finals and
Black
Cup
Mirror
final.
Just released some new episodes. I know you guys don't really watch that. I watched the one with Miley Cyrus last night. It was all right.
Did you? All right. Well, this is the side topics. Yeah,
the side topics. We'll talk about whatever you guys want. So tweet us and we'll. I guess we'll have to start watching more shows together.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'm going to dive in. I'm diving into Curb right now, which is obviously an old show. There's not many new episodes of Curb, but that's
there's
one
no
of
new episodes of Curb.
There's none?
They did a few new ones.
I thought
ones
they just did
a
new season
ago.
A couple
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't like it hasn't been a new
oh,
one.
Oh, it's
in
not
like
consistently
years.
New. Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah.
He just decides when he wants to work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I need some money, and Larry David writes an episode.
There'll definitely be good shows coming. I mean, there's so many different outlets now that, I mean.
Billions is out there. Succession is out there, or coming out there.
Westworld, but that's still far.
Westworld's problem is it's just Westworld is a good show, but its problem is it's too damn confusing. Like I can't like the whole second season. I'm not entirely sure what happened, but it was but I can just at the end of the day say that was a good series. It's like The Leftovers. That was a good show.
I thought that show sucked,
but I don't know what happened.
There might be a movie that comes out that we might want to do if we all go see something big comes out.
Yeah.
True. Although,
yeah, the really Lion King coming out. We all grew up with The Lion King.
I did not. I grew up with Chernobyl, not The Lion King.
On that note, this is fun.
How is it? It's all CGI, but it's considered
real
not
life
a cartoon.
Yeah. Life action.
Live action.
Yeah, I don't know how Lion King's going to work, but it looks amazing, so I'm excited.
I'm not that excited.
Well, you're just a hater. And you were born in the 70s, so forget you.
What else is coming up? I'm trying to look up.
A lot of...
Stranger Things starts in
July.
But I'd rather see if we can get something from the beginning, but maybe there's nothing right now.
Yeah, but people will want to talk about that last season once Stranger
Things happens.
Or the latest. I'm sure it's not the last.
Yeah, for sure.
Are we still recording?
We are.
Still rolling.
Yeah. Who's listening?
Hey. This is what we do. Now you're into the meeting section of the podcast. This is our meeting of what we're going to do next.
I'll take us out for Tom Kelly, Dave Breitmeyer, Andrew Porter. I'm Bill Kornfeld. Thanks
See
for listening.
Later.
This is the Side Topics.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.